Now that the 2016 election cycle is almost over, the holidays are right around the corner. Really, Thanksgiving's just 2 weeks from Thursday. And if you're into gift exchanges during the holiday season, you have just 46 shopping days left until Christmas. There are a handful of local groups who offer goods such as Guatemalan reed baskets and edibles, most notably chocolate and coffee, known as Fair Trade. I was curious about the idea behind Fair Trade and how it's executed locally, so I headed west to the Community United Methodist Church at 3301 West Broadway in Columbia. It's there that Ava Swafford manages the global market.
In my other life, I was a school teacher. I taught junior high level social studies. And in my retirement, I got a passion for fair trade and helped open a fair trade gift shop in our church at Community United Methodist Church. And it's a mission project to help people in underdeveloped countries make a fair and living wage for their craft and what they do. Actually, fair trade began as helping to find people, refugees, work after World War II. The movement really started after World War II. And Oxfam in England began to sell things made in China and other places. And the fair trade movement in Europe was very much ahead of the United States. The first two fair trade organizations in the United States was 10,000 Villages, which was started by the Mennonite Church. And it started from a woman bringing, they had a ministry in Puerto Rico. So they brought lace back and sold it. And today it's developed into 10,000 Villages and their marvelous fair trade stores all over the United States. The other was Serve International, which was started by the Church of the Brethren after World War II to put refugees to work. And now it has Serve stores. And then mostly, though, they wholesale to people like us. So today I buy this online. Fair trade groups, cooperatives are put online, handled by someone here in the United States. There's one woman that handles the things we get from Guatemala. She gets those to the United States, puts up a website, and we're able to purchase them from her. I guess personally, I've always have a bent toward helping other people. It's just a passion that's grown with me, that my life is to help others as well as to help myself. And so the more I learned about fair trade and the awful poverty that's in the world, and that we might do a little something to help lift some of these people from these abject lives, the passion just grew with me.
So is that passion that finds you spending a fair amount of time here at the global market, is that rooted in your faith?
It is rooted in my faith. Within the United Methodist Church, we have an active United Methodist Women's Organization, and its whole focus is mission and outreach to women and children of the world who live in poverty. And fair trade picks up on that so well, because probably 70 to 75% at least of these products that are produced by women. And when you raise the life, the standard of living of a woman, you lift the life of her family. And so it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I have had the opportunity to travel to countries and see this in real life. And so it's just something that I feel like my faith tells me that we are to help those that are downtrodden.
Tell me a story about your travels.
Well, as a social studies teacher, I used to take tours around the world with people. however, just to make it more pertinent, 2 years ago, Peggy, the woman that helps me a lot with this, she and I traveled to Guatemala to visit the women that make our backstrap weaving, the scarves, and then also the pine needle baskets, which probably is the best bargain in this store, and jewelry making. And we call it fair trade on the ground. We actually visited the women that make these things from Guatemala, and were just that even increased our passion for what we were doing.
How long have you had the global market here?
Well, it's been in this church probably 15 years. Best kept secret in Columbia. We have moved from a room that was the air transfer for the furnace. That was our first location, and we've moved four times, and now we have a new welcome center, and they created a shop that you come in from the north side of our building, and we're right there, so it makes it more accessible to the public. We get volunteers. There's no paid staff. We have no overhead since it's in the church. So our prices are very good because our first purpose is to sell the products so we can buy more, which helps people be self-sustaining. Because the whole idea for fair trade is to help people be self-sustaining. It's not a handout. It's a hand up, as we say. So then the small profit we make, we give away for some other kind of economic development. And since a lot of us are teachers, former teachers, we do support quite a few scholarships, eight in Nicaragua, because our church does a lot of work with Nicaragua. We also support some little boys in Kenya.
Now, I've heard you on tape here, and then when we were in the shop a few moments ago, hyping the pine needle baskets as a great deal. Besides the baskets, tell me what you sell in the shop and what tends to be among your better sellers.
Jewelry is good. Women like jewelry. And so we have a lot of wonderful costume jewelry mostly, and it comes from all over the world, Guatemala, India. One of the most unique things is we have the Taguay nut jewelry that comes from a nut that grows in Ecuador, and it's called vegetable ivory, and they can dye it. So that's kind of a unique item that we have right now. Well, the pine needle baskets are good. This is a new craft for the Mayan women. Mayan women are noted for their weaving. It's in their soul. They do backstrap weaving. But the thing of it is, in Guatemala, thousands of people weave. And so it was decided by the women that helped start these cooperatives if they could learn some new crafts. And pine needle baskets are a new craft for them. And they are absolutely beautiful. The weavings, of course, are wonderful. The scarves, we do placemats, napkins, and so forth. Another good thing we sell are the gourds from Peru. We have gourd ornaments. We have gourd boxes. We have birdhouses, and that is, at Christmas time, we sell a lot of the, and they come with nativities on them. They come with dogs and cats and tigers and all kinds of things, birds, butterflies. The soapstone carvings are good. They come from Kenya, so we have figurines and so forth, a little hearts that are colored many colors. We have musical instruments, little percussion-type things, drums and rattles, and that kind of thing is good. And we have lots of things like puzzle boxes. A lot of those come from India. We have other baskets, too, that come from Ghana, and they're woven from grass. You know, we do talk a lot about fair trade and free trade. The difference between free trade and fair trade is that with fair trade, the bottom line is the producer. When an item is made, it's negotiated what they need to have for their price, to pay for what they have in it, and to pay for them to have a fair and living wage within the context of their country. As opposed to free trade is that we're making the shareholders' money, we're making the CEO's money, and the producer is the bottom person on that. And so I could go into that a lot more. But so the reason it's called fair trade, and we'd like to have fair trade worldwide. I mean, you know, even free trade people could be fair if they wanted to be. It's just that we get caught up in this low prices, always low prices, and forgetting who is paying the price for this. Somebody is paying the price for the low price. Who's paying that? Well, these poverty-stricken people are paying the price. And so I think as consumers, we need to take a look at that and to learn where our items are coming from.
And maybe ironically, we're located on West Broadway at 3301, just across Parc de Ville from, you've got it, the West Side Walmart.
That's right. Correct.
That was Ava Swafford from the Global Market. It's a fair trade store located inside Columbia's Community United Methodist Church. While Swafford's faith guides her involvement in fair trade pursuits, another local activist is motivated by a broader critique of how and what we consume. It's since 1990 that the Peace 805C West Broadway in downtown Columbia has sold books, food, and fair trade goods. Here's Mark Heim, the longtime director of Peaceworks, the nonprofit that manages the Peace Nook. And for the full disclosure, about 17 and 20 years ago, I worked for Peaceworks at two different times on their sustainability programming, but not in the Peace Nook.
Well, the Peacenooks have been around since 1990. We're a nonprofit store, primarily volunteer staffed, and a community resource center with lots of resources for progressives in the community, people who are concerned about peace, social and economic justice, the environment, sustainability, and climate change. So we have lots of different resources down there. And we were actually Columbia's first fair trade store. We started stocking fair trade goods back in 1990 when we opened. Fair trade is trade that is non-exploitive. Much of what we get in our society of goods produced in developing countries is produced in abysmal conditions, in sweatshops, dangerous, environmentally unsustainable and exploitive, where people are often employing child labor and working people many, many hours in sweatshops and barely eking out an existence. Fair trade tries to balance the scales and make sure that whoever is working is getting a living out of their work and doing something that is not threatening to their health or safety or well-being, that's environmentally friendly, it's sustainable, and just. And that's essentially it. It takes different forms. Sometimes it's worker cooperative. Sometimes it's nonprofit enterprises. Sometimes it's for-profit but ethical. But whichever way it is, the key thing is when you buy a fair trade good, you know that the person who produced it is living a passably decent life based on the standards of their culture. They don't consume necessarily as much as we do in the very affluent West, but they are getting by and doing well as opposed to being exploited.
So give me an example of a fair trade good that you might be able to track from source to shop when you put it on the shelf at the Peacenook.
Well, we work with several importers. We're not an importer ourselves. We don't make contacts with people in developing countries and arrange to import their stuff. But we work with either nonprofits like Serve or for-profits that are ethically based and work with cooperatives or family operations in developing countries. So when we have, let's say, a tapestry that's made in India or a wool hat that comes from Nepal or some finger puppets were made by women workers in Peru, we know that those products were produced in good conditions. We are able to be in touch with the producing companies or people, and it's a much more connected kind of a situation than just buying stuff and selling it. And often what happens with gift shops, they will charge exorbitant markups, and they'll pay as little as possible for things and charge as much as they think they can get. We operate on different principles, and we really work to make sure that what is coming out is fair and treats everybody with respect, including the consumer. We don't want to gouge the consumers either. We use as a slogan, fair trade at a fair price. And we're trying very hard to have our store well stocked for people who want to make those kind of purchases for the holidays. We make a very conscious effort not to encourage excessive overconsumption. We feel everybody needs to find their own balance, but keeping it simple is a really good idea. And if people come to our store and find some things that they can make good use of for themselves or as gifts, we're really happy. We don't want people to go into debt, to buy over their heads, to feel compelled to go shopping, continuously getting more and more things. That's not really sustainable. It's not really good for people or, you know, even the recipients of the gifts. We really have an attitude that put yourself into the gifts you're giving when you can. Make it yourself if you can. If you can't make everything yourself or even anything yourself, pick things that are really consistent with what you believe in, things that have minimal environmental impacts that are negative, things that support developing countries, communities in developing countries. So you feel like you've made an ethical transaction, you've helped people along the way, and that seems really important to me. There are probably goods being made in China that are ethically sourced and can be imported as fair trade items. And fair trade usually is talking about handcrafted items as opposed to like consumer electronics. They're produced in big factories. So we're really talking about a different segment of the market there. But we sell everything from fair trade chocolate and coffee and tea right on across to a whole variety of different household goods and clothing items. And, you know, when we buy these items, we're really trusting the sources that we get them from. We're getting reports, seeing newsletters, seeing pictures, talking to the buyers themselves. So we have an idea as to what's involved. We might not actually go over there and meet the people ourselves. We don't, but we have at least, you know, one or two people away connection from some of the producers. And I think that's really important, too.
So what is the future of fair trade? How do you take it to the next level beyond just scale?
Well, you know, we live in a society that's globally very interdependent right now. There's a lot of economic activity that goes on that's in commodities, that's in consumer goods that are manufactured. The fair trade segment of the international trade market's a very small segment compared to, let's say, consumer electronics or autos or high-ticket items that we literally spend billions of dollars importing each year. It's a small segment, but we would like to see a change in the economy more generally. One of the things we'd like to see is more decentralization of the economy and a much more sustainable way of producing things. And ideally, we shouldn't be importing things from overseas that we could readily produce here. On the other hand, when you deal with handcrafted items that are unique to a culture, you know, when you see an African carving, it doesn't look like a Southeast Asian carving or a South American carving. It's culturally specific. And if you have an appreciation for the arts and crafts and talents and unique diversity of different cultures, you might want to have an Indian tapestry or a Persian rug or any of the items I mentioned. And appreciate that. I would love to see a world in which there's actually less trade, though, and more of it fair trade. So you have to have that combination, because a lot of the things we're importing, we really don't need to import. We could produce them closer to home. And right now, there's been this race to the bottom in the global economy where they are deindustrializing the developed countries, taking away high-paying union jobs, and instead employing people in developing countries who get paid only a tiny fraction of what American workers or Western European workers would make. So we don't really support as much trade as we have today, but we'd like to see what trade there is be more fair trade.
That was Columbia's Mark Heim. He's the executive director of Mid-Missouri Peaceworks, which runs the Peace Nook, located downstairs at 804 C East Broadway in downtown Columbia. Heim was talking about the meaning behind fair trade. Our thanks to Mark Heim, Ava Swafford, and Zach Wyatt for being guests on the program this evening. If you appreciate the original programming you hear over these airwaves, shows like Thinking Out Loud, Global Journalist, Views of the News, Radio Friends with Paul Pepper, and Intersection among them, consider becoming a member of this public radio station. We get by because of the generosity of good folks like you. Consider making a generous financial gift now to support KBIA in the years to come. We can't do it without you. Help us continue the excellent programming that you hear over these airwaves for now well over 40 years. Support Thinking Out Loud and other KBIA original programs with a generous financial gift. You can do so on our website. Just click on that little red button in the upper right-hand corner that says Donate. It'll walk you through the process, and in just a few easy steps, just about 3 minutes, you can become a member of this public radio station. Thanks, as always, for your support. My name is Trevor Harris. For the show's executive producer, Darren Helwich, we thank you for listening to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA.